I've been to where we had an outhouse living in Carolina at one point. You know, my sisters and we laugh about that when we came from an outhouse. We went from the city to an outhouse in the country to now, you know,
in the big house.
There. Well, almost there. It's I'm comfortable, put it that way. I don't have nothing to worry about until I die. It's a good feeling that I don't have to worry about money.
You are listening to The Millionaire Talk Show with Charles Oglesby.
We're going to be millionaires.
And we're interviewing proven millionaires who've built their wealth in real estate, sales, marketing, branding, and other areas by betting on themselves. And now, here's your host, Charles Oglesby. Charles Oglesby.
This is The Millionaire Talk Show. My name is Charles Oglesby, also known as Todd Millionaire. And we are live with my co-host, Michelle Welch. What's going on, Michelle?
Living life. Let's go.
Living life. We had a wardrobe change.
It got a little chilly. I'm at my parents' house right now, and I'm a little cold. They don't believe in not having normal air temperatures. It's like 60 degrees in here.
All right. Whatever works. Well, you know, guys, you know what we do. We talk about business and investing because business and investing is a team sport. And we believe that that's the true key to financial success and generational wealth. And you guys are in luck because we are going to be having a conversation with an industry that we've never talked about and isn't really talked about, but it's really cool because I like cigars. And this brother owns a cigar company called Carolina Blue Cigars. He's been doing it for 6 years. He also is a 30-year U.S. Army veteran. So thank you for your service. And he is a finance manager for Veteran Affairs. We're going to be talking about cigars today, but I'm sure there'll be stuff mixed in. So welcome to the show, man.
Thank you for having me. I'm a fan of your show. I usually catch you and the other guys that talk about financial wealth as well. So
I appreciate that. So the first question we always ask people is, can you tell us a little bit more about yourself so our guests can learn about you?
Oh, you summed it up in a nutshell. No, but how can I start? I don't usually talk well about myself. I always talk well about other people. Again, 30-year vet, family man. I got some older kids, younger kids. I'm a golf fanatic, Carolina Tar Heel fan. I just love... Let's see. Here's one right now. Okay. Thank you. Could you?
I love to see it.
Yeah, that's my partner right there. My right hand partner right there. Can't move anywhere without her. So, other than that, I think I'm a outgoing kind of a. I think I'm a mentor to the younger guys coming into business. I don't know how to talk about myself, to be honest with you. I've been telling my story so long. Yeah. Like, just ask me what you want to know and I'll tell you everything. So
what was life like growing up for you?
Ooh. I was lucky. I'm originally from New York. See, that's a good question. I'm originally from New York, from Queens, stayed in the Bronx for a while, moved back to Queens, family in North Carolina. So I had a pretty good, you know, childhood as far as introduction to different cultures and stuff like that. My mom always, you know, let me just go back. My dad was a VP at Chase and my mom was a marketing exec at a big a marketing company in New York City. So, you know, we didn't, it's weird. In a sense, I talked to my older son, I'm like, man, even though my dad was, you know, big into the money thing, I didn't have that conversation. We never had that conversation about wealth, you know, how to make it. It was just back then, it was just working to, you know, keep the family going and stuff like that. You know, I went to the South. My grandmother worked in the summers in tobacco. That's kind of where it started. We have a big family in North Carolina. And, you know, that's kind of where my roots come from, you know, sports, you know, moved here in the Carolinas when I was in middle school and it just took off from there. So we didn't have life wasn't easy, but we did what we needed to do to make it, you know, and that's, I guess, where the military came from, because my uncles are in the military, and that was something I always wanted to do. After I went to Fayetteville State for a little while, I said, nah, it's not for me. I need to go to the military. So that's a good question.
When did cigars come into the picture? When did you first start thinking about that?
About 2 years before I retired. I retired in 2017. And I played golf. That was like my mistress. So I was playing in a tournament in Dominican Republic, and my uncle from over there approached me. He said, hey, won't you get back in cigars? I'm like, man, you crazy. Because I already knew how the business was. So I'm like, I don't really want to do cigars. It's going to take too much of my time, because I had it all planned out. I was going to play golf. I was going to teach it somewhere. I was going to just do that all day, make some side money while I'm collecting my retirement checks and whatever else I was going to get. The game changed a little bit when I started producing cigars again, and I guess they were pretty good. So I went from there. About a year, I actually marketed the brand. I didn't just like, all right, I'm gonna start it tomorrow and start selling cigars. I actually marketed the company for like a year before I retired. So I was giving them out at golf tournaments and people that I knew, shop owners, just getting their feedback, because I didn't want to just give out a product to say, hey, here you go. Cause it was so many products out there at the time. The person that I am, it had to be a marketable item. And then it kind of took off a little bit. And we actually exploded for a short period of time, to where the demand at our first factory, we couldn't hold the demand of what they wanted. So we moved factories, and now we're at a bigger, but really not a bigger factory, but a factory that can produce more cigars and keep the recipe going for a longer period of time.
When you first started out, were you just making them by hand? Because I know I've been to those, and have the old guy sitting there rolling them and cutting them and everything.
That's how they're made. Yeah. Every cigar I have is made by hand.
Wow.
Every single one of them. And that's, you know, that's the art, the artistry of it. You know, you get to, it's like a baker, you know, you're making different pies and cakes, and you come up with different flavors, and you can do what you want. And that's what keeps me going, because we're always trying to do something a little better the next time.
That's interesting. How many variations do you have currently?
Right now, I have on the market right now, I have 10 different blends on the market. I have probably about 15 or 16, you know, well, I should say 15. I have about 7 that are good cigars that I won't put on the market because I know what the customer may or may not want. So, but we have the capability to do 30 to 40 different cigars.
Wow. And they're all
that's too many.
That definitely. But are they all sourced out of Dominican Republic?
No, we have Dominican Republic and Nicaragua.
Oh,
so, wow. Yeah, we have two entities. I introduced the Nicaraguan entity right after COVID. Right in the middle of COVID. You know, nobody like, well, how are you going to do a new cigar in COVID? Believe it or not, I was on the plane during COVID, flying back and forth.
Me too.
So, yeah, I was on the plane. It was like the best time ever to fly during COVID, because there was nobody in the plane. It was like, I remember flying to Santiago one time. It was just me and the stewardesses on the plane. Well, flight attendants or whatever they call themselves now. It was just us on the plane. I was like, we got the whole plane? It's like, yeah. We'll pick them up on the way back. I'm like, word, that's what's up.
Really, really cool. Wow.
Yeah.
What makes for a good cigar? Because, I mean, you know, I consider myself a cigar smoker, but when I go inside of the humidor, you know what I do? I just look for like an expensive cigar. I never go mid, never go low. I just go for whatever's at the top. Nothing too crazy. Because I figure if it's more expensive, that means it's better.
So, okay. So let's use this analogy because I get that same thing. I get that same request often. So let's use a restaurant. Do you think going to Ruth Chris or going to the butcher shop and get your own steak, which would be better?
I would say Ruth Chris. I'm sorry, Charles. I would say Ruth Chris because I'm paying for not having to cook it. I don't want to have to put it together. I just want to go enjoy myself, be treated correctly, and just be done with it and go home, rest, and do whatever. So that's my answer.
Okay, we have to change that because that's not a good one for you because you don't want to cook it. So, all right, I'll put it to you this way. Expensive is not always better. In other words, we use consumable goods. Like, does Louis Vuitton have the best accessories out there on the market? Once you find out the cost factor as far as what they do, could you find a Coach bag is just as comparable as a Louis Vuitton?
Right.
Mm-hmm. See, that's the thing. You want the top of the heap because as soon as you get it, it's like, you know, it's Louis Vuitton, ain't gonna last that long. But I've seen like my sisters have Coach bags that have been lasted for years, and that Louis Vuitton zipper's already messed up in a couple of months. So, from a taste perspective, as far as from a cigar manufacturer, the bigger brands just work in volume. Of course they work in volume. Me, I perfect a smaller batch to where I can suit your palate a lot better. Because the big guys are like, you know what? I can push out tens of thousands of cigars because I'm Louis Vuitton. People are going to buy it. But Carolina Blue comes along that's affiliated with different companies of that stature that grow the tobacco in the same places and use the same tobacco, but nurture it a little bit more and take their time. The taste that we have will probably be a lot better than that $40 cigar.
Yeah.
By far.
So
I'm not saying I'm better, but it's just by far.
So your prices, what's like the average price for a cigar?
My highest price cigar, which I can't keep in stock, we call it Limitado. It's like $20, you know, and it outsmoked the big ones. My lowest price one is like $7. Yeah. So we have, you know, one in the middle, they average between $10 and $11. So, and they fly off the shelf. People.
Supply chain wise, you said that you buy your tobacco from the same places that they buy their tobacco.
No, the difference between me is we grow our own tobacco.
Oh.
So we grow a lot of people in the position that I have, that I'm in, they don't grow their own tobacco.
No.
We grow our own tobacco. So we have, we're not limited to what you have in stock today. I can pretty much go out and say, you know what? Let's come up with something different. And we have that capability. That's the difference in a size company that I have. So not many people at my size can say, oh, we grow our own tobacco. Yeah. They might source it and they may not get a good lot, you know, the next time. It's just like going, you know, to and you know, a wholesaler or whatever, and you find stuff and like, oh, I don't have any more. You know, we ran out. We will never run out. That's the difference.
Because you have your own field.
Correct.
So how did you find your master blender and what does that mean for someone like me? I've smoked a cigar before, but I don't know the logistics behind it. So,
right. Well, the master blenders usually come with they're all incorporated with the actual factory. So what Tabacalera El Fuente is the factory that I'm at now. When I was transitioning from my smaller factory, which Tabacalera de la Cruz, we're still tight today. That's my man. You know, he put me on back into the game. So I'll never, ever forget, you know, the homage I give to him. So we were talking back and forth and I was in DR just going factory hunting and smoking cigars all day. And finally, I'm like, you know what? Hey, I'm in DR. Let me come over to the factory. He says, all right. Came over, walked in the door. We sat down.
and just a vibe came over that we were both at the same position at the same time. I came with some things that they were looking for as far as big accounts for such a small company and different ideas. And, you know, they were like, hey, you know, that's what we're looking for. And the things that we wanted to do, you know, as far as growth wise, we were talking the same sheet of music, and it just blossomed from that, you know, from that aspect. It was just the vibe that we had, you know, the family environment. It wasn't always about business, you know, it was about, and just as things moved forward, you know, I found out a lot of the family members were working there. You know, I go to their house, we eat dinner, their kids know my kids, you know, when they come to the States, they stay with me. You know, it was just a vibe that we had that was just so, unbreakable. And they really appreciated that I was there all the time. You know, I was there like every month. And it wasn't about cigars. It was about, you know, like, what's up with the family? Need anything? You know, especially during COVID, you know, because a lot of people don't know. They don't really make a lot of money, you know, making cigars. You know, they think it's expensive to do, but they don't really like make a lot of money. And I say it all the time. If I would stop making cigars a day, I would still want to be a part of the factory, just on the fact of they're part of my family now. And they understand that. So, and that's how we've been growing. Like when I go to Vegas or I go to Tampa, or I go to do these big conferences, they come with me. I'm one of the few guys at my size again that the factory comes and supports what I do. So it's just a love that we have there, that we have together. And I don't see myself going anywhere.
So does the factory manufacture for you and you alone, or do they also have other clients?
They have other clients, and that's what we want. You know, the more clients they have, the better, you know, the better visibility, the more visibility we have. So yeah. we have about a good 30 clients that we do stuff for. And it's some of the stuff you've probably seen that probably don't realize that we do it. You know, for the people who really know cigars, not saying you don't, but like that really cares about, well, who makes it? You know what I'm saying? Is it good? That's all I care about. Is it good?
Me too.
Yeah, that's it.
Am I going to look cool smoking this thing?
Right. So I have a question because I, you know, did my research. I wanted to see, you know, about you, about your company. But one thing I found on the Instagram was I saw a lot of people smoking your amazing cigars because they look great. Uh-oh. But like, why do they keep the ash? I never understood that. Like, I saw some long ones. I was like, okay, is this a thing? So what's with the ash?
Yeah, it's a fad. It's just a cool thing for people to do. I tell people all the time, tap that ash. This thing is just tapping it. Tap that ash. So the thing about that, they actually have a competition, a long ash competition at different times of the year, but people kind of like it to see, you know, the ash kind of gives it a mystique of how well the cigar is made. So if the cigar is really made really well, really tight rolled, it'll last for a long, long time. Sometimes when the cigar is aged a long time, the ash might be lighter and it might fall apart, but truly, you should tap the ash because more airflow comes through and you can really taste the cigar. So when you have a lot of ash, it's masking the flavor. But people do what they like. They bought the cigar so they can do what they want.
Definitely. Oh, this is so intriguing. So with cigars, there's different levels. There's like a medium level, a mild level. And so for your best quality, how long can you expect the burn to be?
Oh, so a cigar, anyone, medium, mild, or full, depending on the size and the gauge, you have, you know, different ones, Corona, all the way up to Toros, all the way up to Churchills. So your average cigar, which is a Robusto and a Toro that people smoke on a regular basis, those cigars you can smoke for an hour to an hour and 30 minutes. Coronas, which we call them dog walkers, are a little smaller, which the people in New York really love those when it's cold. 30 minutes, 30 to 45 minutes. So it's really quick. I do those in the winter when I walk my dog, you know, around the corner when it's about halfway, it's time to turn back. Yeah. Yeah, a little dog walker. That's what we call them. You know, people in New York or stuff, they smoke them on the way to the subway because, you know, they may have to walk or something like that for a little bit. Or they can stand outside at lunchtime and smoke a quick cigar. So they call them. Some people call them. They have Coronas and they have cigarillos. So which are not.
I've heard of that terminology before. Oh gosh, this is so interesting.
Yeah, it's a lot to it. Yes.
So I found out something is like the top leaf on a cigar is a lot of times different than the actual like filler.
Yes. So we'll use the analogy of a sandwich as to a cigar. So you have the wrapper, the binder, the filler. On the sandwich, you have the bread and you have the, you know, whatever kind of, you know, mustard mayo you have or whatever you like as the binder. And then you have your meat and that is your filler. So a lot of times you have the binder, excuse me, the filler gives it all of the flavor, which whatever is rolled in the middle of the filler, because it's really rolled, you know, grouped together. That's what you're really tasting through the air. And then you have the binder, which you it serves as another leaf that binds all of that flavor together. And then the wrapper comes in three different, you know, shades for the most part, you know, is a Connecticut, Habano, and a Maduro. People, the mystique of it is the darker the wrapper, the stronger it is. That is also a myth. You might hear that. That's a myth. Because one, I did some things on purpose where I made my Connecticut stronger than all the other cigars. So, because, you know, the darker the leaf has twofold, you know, you have the cigar, the darker cigars from all over different regions. You have, you know, Ecuadorian, you have Mexican, you have Dominican, you have Nicaraguan, Honduran, all these different, even the United States make all of these different type, Brazil, all these different type of wrappers. So you have to think of where they came from. And a lot of times the tobacco tastes like where they came from. Nicaraguan, you have a lot of coffee, you know, just raw products. Dominican Republic, you have fruit, you know, nuts. Mexico, same earthiness. So it depends where the, what kind of soil it came from is what you're going to get the strength in the cigar from the wrapper, the binder, or the filler. So it's just a matter of having the science to merge all of that together like a good bowl of spaghetti. Or a plate of spaghetti. Mm. Yeah, it's the same concept. In theory. In theory.
I've never been so relaxed by someone talking about cigars. Like, this is just so relaxing.
Oh, and it does. And it's that's the thing when you go out, you know, you have your drink. Again, you can't drink everything with every cigar. So you have your drink or whatever you like, and you just sit around and you have conversations like this. This has been a perfect time.
We should
But it's raining today, so I would have been smoking right now if it wasn't raining outside, or I would have been out in the back smoking. Yeah. But yeah, it's just raining right now. It's a storm coming through. So, but yeah, I would have been smoking and drinking a little something with it, and then it's like a whole thing. It's like a whole vibe.
It's like a vibe. I'm like picturing it in my head right now. I'm like a cigar, a little bit of the brown, you know, a little mix. Okay.
Yes. Exactly.
So I'm curious to know, you know, everything sounds so calming and pleasing, but like, what are some challenges that you actually go through being, you know, in this industry, in this space, especially selling tobacco? Like, what have you gone through and how have you overcome?
I'm going through stuff right now. And that's the part that people don't see or understand, you know. The weird thing about the business now, there are cigar companies popping up all over the place. They're just like, oh, I'm going to get some, you know, tobacco. It's like a t-shirt company. They can find somebody to make you some cigars and have a nice day and make your money. But the ones who are in it, you know, everybody's in it, but the ones who really care about what you're doing, like me, we're getting ready to do a fulfillment for a new distribution company down in Reno. So we're fulfilling them with about 50,000 cigars. So just to start, so you have my cigars ready, but no packaging ready. So I'm going through a packaging problem and it's holding up my whole, you know, shipment. So things like that, weather, an issue, you know, that's just the front side of that. That's just the behind the scenes stuff, because once it's all ready to go, it's kind of like, okay, you're good. But from a owner's side to try to get the product out, I deal with, I never heard of you. Like, where do you get this from? Like, who are you? Like, how did you get this company? You know, just the stereotypes of, you know, being a black owner as far as, you know, selling cigars, you know. And it's difficult. It was difficult in the beginning. Just to keep it 100%, sometimes our own people just makes it a lot difficult.
Yo, it's the Options Trading Workshop, presented by Tide Capital. Learn the fundamentals and advanced trading strategies that allow us the chance to earn $20,000 in side money in 1 year while working a job and running multiple businesses. That's right. Learn the what, the where, and the how of options trading in this exclusive webinar. To find out more details, hit us up on the link in the bio, on Instagram at PartnerWithMillie, or on Instagram at Todd.Capital, or just head over to Gumroad.com/Todd Capital.
And, you know, I just want to do the drop kick sometime. But it is what it is. It's like, you know what? Okay, next, you know, because we have a good product and I don't worry about anyone. And I've outgrown that to where you're not going to pay me now, but I know you're going to come back. You know, definitely. Once the word gets out, you're going to be back. And you should have caught me while the bus was parked. Now the bus is moving. Like my man says, yesterday's price is not today's price. Those are some of the challenges. Unlike other businesses, from a capital standpoint, you know, my business is high risk. I'm fortunate, you know, I shouldn't do it, but I said, you know what, I'm gonna do this for my own dime for the minute. You know, I have other things lined up to say, all right, I have, you know, lines of credit, whatever, just ready. When things start to blossom, you know, right now it's not a problem because, you know, I use it for, you know, different tax write-offs and different assets that we acquired over time. So it balances out itself. But a tobacco industry is not like any other. I have to deal with FDA.
Yeah. You know,
that part, you know, I have to deal with, you know, with, where do I store my goods? You know, it's you know, underage. Even though in cigars, I don't have to deal with underage people buying cigars because your average 20-year-old is not going to come into a cigar shop and look for a cigar. Right, right. You know. So and nobody's going to get somebody like, okay, I'll get you a cigar, but they will get them some Black Miles or something like, you know, or something like that. You know what I'm saying? Right. Yeah. They'll get them a 99-cent joint. Like, okay, here you go. But, that's the least of my problems. It's more like federal regulation.
Yeah.
You know, I deal with stuff like that. And that's just the hard part.
Yeah.
Of it all.
That's so what I figured.
It's funny because you brought up the whole creating your own cigar company, like a t-shirt company. I was like, I actually had the idea about 2 weeks ago. I was like, I want my own cigar. So can we partner and create a Todd cigar? What does that look like? If I wanted to create a Todd brand cigar and it could just be a sub-label. You can tell me that.
Sub-label? You mean from a cost perspective?
Yeah, I could create a Todd, or it could be Carolina Blue, the Todd Millionaire, or the Millionaire Cigar. Just think about it.
Think about it, and I can email you back. We can figure the logistics out. But that's actually a really good idea. I like that.
Okay. So you're gonna do it for your like events and stuff. You're not gonna put it in the store, right? Yeah. Oh, for your events. Yeah, that's doable. Very doable. Yeah, that's too easy.
They could just make that happen. Swapping out a wrapper, huh?
Yeah, we can make that happen within a month or two. It's too easy. That's the options that we have. It's like, that's what you want. Awesome. I can give you 5 to 10 different samples. You tell me what you like. Ah, we can make it happen.
That's dope, man. That'd be like, so cool.
Like execution.
Man, that'd be so cool. What are some, I think she asked the obstacles, but what's something that you experienced in starting this business that you didn't expect?
One thing that I really, like, it bothers me sometimes, but I'm like, you know what? Business is business. Like, again, I'm from New York, but I live in Charlotte. I have more support in New York City, in that area, than I do in North Carolina. Which is crazy.
And it's named after Carolina.
It's crazy. And I'm like, I've been to, like, so many, like, Texas, South Carolina, different places. And before,
I changed the brand. I relaunched the brand and changed the packaging and everything. I used to have Carolina Blue on the actual band. So when I was down in Texas one time, they're like, is this Tar Heel cigar? I'm like, oh, my God. So, you know, it, the whole different things, you have the Falcons and like, we don't like the Panthers. I'm like, it don't have nothing to do with either one. You know, it's just a whole lot of, you know, it's just people being people. So I changed it to make it look more luxury. And now I don't really get that anymore. But I do have a, like, it really kind of, you know, burns me. I don't want to say burn me. I really feel like, just have this like gut punching feeling like, why don't I have North Carolina on lockdown with Carolina Blue Cigars? Like, why is it? Like, what is it? And I've been everywhere. Ah, we don't. And it's just I don't know you. I never heard of you. You know what I'm saying? Because it's so many cigars out there. But now that we have the good thing that with distribution, with a bigger company, now it's, the doors are like flying open. Like, we're just like, hey, we're with such and such. And now like, oh yeah, let me get some samples. Blah, blah, blah. We'll bring you in the store. So it's so easy now. It's like, okay. It's like having a black card.
You created like a strategic partnership with a larger brand. Is that what it should?
Yeah, with a larger distribution. They have 1,200 stores.
How did you pull that over?
Look, it was like conversation. We was having a conversation. Originally, I was with a smaller, bigger distribution. This smaller distribution company had, they have like 20 stores around the United States, but they're large and they buy a lot of product. So as I was transitioning to the new factory, I had to kind of like back off a little bit and you know, I was like, hey, I'm transitioning. So one day I was on this email, which is weird. And you know how people blast people out. It was with the FDA, actually. And it was about 300 of us on this email. And somebody replied back to all 300, like, what is this? What is this? What is this? So I kept getting this traffic. So I'm like, hey, if this email doesn't apply to you, if it doesn't say two, then don't reply and reply back single. So they hit me up and said, hey, I'm glad you said that. Like, and then, you know, we kicked up a conversation. He's like, hey, you know, okay. I said, I heard about you. Yeah. And he's like, you know, that's good. Like, what do you, then, you know, we started talking. He's like, what do you do? I'm like, yeah, I'm the owner of Carolina Blue. Oh, I never heard of you. Again, I never heard of you.
Right.
And I told him what I do. And then he's like, hey, you do distribution for one of my friends. I knew one of the guys who already had a distribution deal with him. It's like, hey, you do distribution with you. Like, so yeah, I know them. I say, okay. So a couple of days later, he said, hey, if you want to talk about distribution, you know, give me a call. I'm like, hey, I've been working on this for like 2 years now. He's like, let's talk. So a couple of days later, I guess he did some research on me. He said, yeah, we want you guys because I just heard you guys got some great cigars. You do the right thing. You know, the same thing I'm telling you. I'm like, wow. I'm like, thank you. And next thing we know, it took us about 2-3 months to get it going. And then voila, I'm like, woo. So that was like a big burden off my shoulders because the next thing I was getting ready to do is keep warehouse space, hire employees, you know, do all this moving, but we're going to put the warehouse in Florida. You know, it was a whole big logistical nightmare that was coming into that I wasn't ready for, but I had to do it because I wouldn't survive, you know, just me and the two or three people I have working with me. So, and that's now I'm like, I sleep better at night and I can like walk in the store, send an email out and say, hey, I'm with such and such. I'm like, oh yeah, let's get some samples. Let's do it.
I love that relationship building is so important. I think just hearing your story and hearing how you've been able to evolve just by who you know, the relationships, the integrity, the credibility of your name is so important. And I'm loving that you're showcasing like being a good person in business will take you places. It'll allow you to be in rooms that you may not have necessarily been invited to, but you're now able to stay because of those things. So I think that's really dope that you used who you are and who you know to get you further. Right. And not in a weird bad way, but in a way of like, that's who you are. So that's really, really cool.
Right.
And it's all about, you know, passing it on. And I do that now. People ask me all the time, like, how did you do this? How did you do that? Like, call him, call them. This is how you do it. I said, this is how it happened for me. Your journey might be different, but this is the way you have to do it. You know, just go and stay the course and it'll be fine. And a lot of people are like, I don't feel like doing the work. It's a lot of work in this business. It's a lot of work, you know, and people's like, oh, I'm like, have you got profit yet? I'm like, no, So, but projections are, you know, if things go the way I predict them to go, then we'll be fine in, you know, another year or so. And I knew that going into the business. It's like, this is one business where I can't sell, buy cheap and sell, even though, yes, I buy cheaper, but the profit level, the profit margin is so thin. Like, you know, I'll just give you an example. It's a brick and mortar, a shop will buy from me wholesale at, you know, $5. It may cost me $350 to get it from DR, you know, per stick because of taxes, you know, shipping and all that stuff and just the product. So the volume in the end is where the profit margin starts building.
Yeah.
But on the wholesale, on the retail side, if I sell it directly to consumer, which is a nightmare in itself sometimes because of logistical and packing, that's when I would make more margin. If I could sell all of my cigars straight off the internet, then yeah, profit out the wazoo. But I would never grow that way because somebody in California would not know about me. Somebody in Alabama, you know, they might not know about, but now I have shops strategically placed in all these states and that's where the volume is going to start picking up that way.
Yeah. So I was going to ask you, I was like, are you able to sell direct to consumer just based on, like, I don't know, whatever regulations are out there? You can still set up a Shopify or whatever online e-com and just sell. People can go online and verify their identification and buy from you.
Right. And that was another nightmare. The merchant account. So it took me forever to get the right merchant account that verified everything when people buy something. So now we have that. So now that I have distribution, you know, I just sell like the 5-pack samplers. Like if somebody want to try the brand, they're like, I don't really want to buy a box, or I'm not near a store. I'm like, okay, buy a sample pack of all 5 or all 10. And then you can try every one of them. And then you can go somewhere and order the box from somewhere else. And that's what we do.
Where can they find the sample pack for the people listening and watching?
Oh, shopcarolinabluecigars.com. Shopcarolinabluecigars.com. And if you don't see something I do, if you see something you like and say, I want 5 of those, just hit me up on at the information on the contact. It's contact@carolinabluecigars.com. And I will, you know, hit you back and say, all right, I'll take care of you. And yeah, I'll sell you a 5-pack of 1 or a 10-pack of 2 or whatever, however you want it. So I do that on occasion. But, you know, for those who... Usually for the people who buy from me often, I'll take care of them. I'm all about customer service, over delivering, you know, I'm all about that. I put some trinkets in the box and make you feel special. And then you go tell your friends and that's how it is. But, you know, all the new sample cigars that I bring out, I'll sell them online. You know, I'll sell one or I'll put them in the sample pack so they can try it, you know, because it's without the customers, I'm not able to do what I do. Because that's what helped me get to this level is the customers. Even during COVID, I'm like, I'm not going to say it's good. I'm not going to say try it, it's good. I'm like, buy the cigar, tell your friends. If your friends like it, tell their friends to try it. And you tell the people who want to buy it, and that's how I'm going to grow. I can say it's good all day. It's not going to help me any. It's the person who's buying it. So and that's how it's worked for me so far.
That's dope. That's literally like your business model and everything you're doing is literally like it's a marathon, not a sprint. Like we're working towards each stage and each development. I have one more last question. So like, what would you say for anyone that wants to get into the cigar industry? Like it sounds difficult, but what is like one of the first steps for them to, you know, to take if they wanted to see about cigars and creating their own line or whatever the case may be?
I would say, get with someone who will take you to a factory. Learn the seed to the shelf. Learn the seed to the shelf. Yeah, just don't go out and like, yeah, I'm gonna sell these cigars. Learn where it's coming from. Learn how it's made. You know, learn, see the struggles that are happening over there. So you'll understand, you know, when you don't get something on time, you know why. Like when I don't get something on time, I know why.
Todd Consulting presents the Vending Machine Business Webinar. You can only have one job, but you can have as many vending machines as you want. This is your chance to see how we do business and how you can start your very own vending machine business. Avoid the mistakes we made and start winning. You'll be shown how we find, negotiate, buy, and manage our vending machine business generating thousands per month and how it has unlimited scale. To find out more details, hit us up on the link in the bio, on Instagram at Partner with Millie, or on Instagram at Todd.Capital, or just head over to Gumroad.com/Todd Capital.
You know, I understand why something went wrong. You know, I have the relationship of saying, hey, you know, we got to do this again. So, you know, it's easy to give somebody $10,000 and say, make me, you know, 5,000 cigars and you walk away. But are you really getting what you paid for? You know? So I would say get with somebody, you know, it could be myself, could be someone else, and just ride their coattail for 6 months, a year, and then do it.
I like that.
And understand it. Yeah. Then understand the cost factor. You know, it's no fame. It's no fame. You know, people know me, but I don't have any fame. I'm just like, you know, all I can do is be humble with it. And like, I hope you like it. You know, if you don't, tell me why. Maybe I can fix it next time. Or maybe not. Maybe you just don't like it, you know. But I try to give my customers something to enjoy. I try to give my customers an experience every time they come to an event. You know, because it's not many of us doing it. You know, when you go to the factory, everybody looks like me. They look like me. You know, people don't realize that. You know, I would say in Dominican Republic. Nicaragua, not so much. Brazil, yes, but definitely Dominican Republic. They look like me. The ones who's in the field look like me. And it's an honor just, you know, being, you know, this long in the business. I looked, my God, we've been doing this 5 or 6 years now. It's like 5 or 6 years. I can't believe it. So, you know, sometimes like earlier this week, I wanted to quit. I'm like, I'm done. I'm tired of this bullshit. I'm sick of it. Like, you know, but I'm deep. This is how deep I'm in it. You know, it's legacy for me. It's like the next generation, like my son. You know, my son is 23. And he's like, and he rides me. He said, I like what you do. He said, it's hard. I'm like, yeah, it's hard. You know, but this is not the only thing that we have to do. We have to do something else to sustain what we need to do later. You know, we have to get another entity of something else. So, you know, and that's what we're working on now. So
that's amazing. I love your story. It's so inspiring and so different. I've never actually spoken one-on-one with, you know, someone that in the cigar industry or anything like that. So it's very refreshing to learn that like everybody in entrepreneurship kind of goes through the same things just in different capacities, depending on which level of business development you're at. So that's really dope. Kudos to you for being almost six. You said 5 to 6 years in.
Yeah, we at this month it'll be 6 years.
Yeah. Wow. Well,
April 15th. Yes, it'll be 6 years.
Congratulations already. Wow.
So I was trying to buy my pack, but it said it was sold out.
I got you. Don't worry about it. Okay. We have to restock. We just sold out over the weekend. So
I need to try that out, man. I got
which find one
out.
You want?
I just want the starter pack,
the signature series or Highway 101.
You know, I didn't know which one was better. I just knew that you said to get the sampler. So I was like, I don't know. Whatever you recommend.
All right, I got you.
Whatever you recommend. But yeah, I got to check those out.
Yeah, we have to restock. They go out so quickly, man. I was looking at it and I was like, wow, we sold that many? So it's like every couple of, we restock like every 2 months. And like, we're right in the middle of a restock. And I'm glad I decided to do that, because that is like the bread and butter. That's keeping us afloat right now. So, you know, we sell about 300 or so, 5 packs every 2 months, about $70. So,
the cool thing is like when you're in business and you're starting something out, you might land on like that kind of a product that I found is we all have this idea like I'm gonna sell everything, and you launch it all and you find out like, oh, this is what they like. Let me continue to do more of what they like. And that just becomes what you're known for, because who else is selling? I mean, maybe there's some people out there who do have a sampler pack. I've never seen it, but you do. And so it allows you to get introduced to the brand, but also make some money in the process. So I think that's really cool. What would I say? We're going to hit to the wrap-up questions. First wrap-up question is, what's your favorite business or investing book?
Okay. Thank you. Could you go away? My favorite investing book, I would have to say the first one I read, which is Rich Dad, Poor Dad, was my first one. And the one I'm reading now, where is it? It's in the bedroom. Is Your Why, something about Your Why. I can't remember.
Start with Why.
Yeah, that's my other one.
Yeah. All right.
That keeps me motivated.
It's a classic.
And the other one that I get into is The Art of Not Giving a F.
Yes, I love that one.
that's Michelle's book.
I love it.
Yeah, that's my motivational book right
there. What sets apart successful business owners from those who give up, fail, or never get started?
I have a great answer for that, because I always run across people who say, I'm going to start a business. And I'm like, why haven't you started? They're like, because I don't want to give up my day job. I'm like, it's the first step. It's like, who said this? I think it was Steve Harvey said, it's the jump. It's the jump. If you don't jump and do it, you're never going to find out. You're going to fail. Some point you're going to fail at something. Your business may not fail, but you're going to fail at something within the business that's going to make you either more successful or not successful. You know, we failed. I failed by not projecting correctly, but did it stop me? No, and said, you know what? I kept the relationships going and let people know that, hey, I'm fixing this. You like what I gave you, I'm gonna give you something better. So it's just the first step. I think that separates the people that's gonna be successful, and what they start going is then stay humble and grind, but be tenacious at the same time. I'm known for not giving a shit. I'm known for just saying whatever. But at the same time, they know that I'm very sincere, and I'm not just saying it just so because I'm Carolina Blue. I'm saying it because, yes, you want to be successful, you have to say no, or, you know, like, stop with the nonsense, you know, stuff like that. You know, I can say more. We don't have time to get into my rant tonight, but it's that separates people, and it can't be about the money. It cannot be about the money. It has to be about what you enjoy to do. You know, it has to be, I enjoy it. If I stop today, will I have more money in my pocket? Oh, yeah, definitely. Am I living? Okay, yeah, definitely. But I enjoy giving people a great product, you know. And I'm learning more, you know, learning more every day. And I'm learning stuff as we sit here about myself as we talk. So.
Oh. Dope, 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 dope. What does wealth mean to you?
Ooh, wealth. Wealth can be a curse too. Wealth, you know, especially now as I look back in time, you know, especially over my military career and now, I would have never thought, you know, we all dream as we're kids, like, I want the big house, I want to be a millionaire, I want to have this, I want to have all of that. Wealth means to me that I could take care of my family, and they don't have to worry too much. But it doesn't mean give them everything. Wealth helps me teach and show. It's like, for some reason, us, I'll just say, we're we're not, we don't have those discussions around the around the table. Like, hey, I never knew until I was almost 30 how to deal with credit cards. You know, so I didn't know, you know, I always heard about good credit and what credit does and what credit can get. You know, even though you can have a lot of money, you can still be turned down, you know, for things that you want. Money doesn't buy everything. So wealth means, you know, comfortability. It doesn't mean you can do everything. It just gives your family and more opportunities for you to move forward. Wealth can bring other streams, other business entities for me and legacies that I want to open up for, you know, my kids and hopefully they see the hard work that I put into it so they can keep it going. And that's kind of what it means to me right now. It's just something because, you know, I've been to where we had an outhouse living in Carolina at one point. You know, my sisters and we laugh about that when we came from an outhouse. We went from the city to an outhouse in the country to now, you know,
in the big house.
There. Well, almost there. It's I'm comfortable, put it that way. I don't have nothing to worry about until I die. It's a good feeling that I don't have to worry about money until I die. You know, it's good. A lot of people can't say that. It's like when I die, I don't have to worry about it. So it's a good feeling, but I don't let my kids feel that. Like, you can just do anything you want, son. No, you're going to earn it. You're going to earn it. And then you'll understand what it means. So that's kind of what it is. It's just a tool. It's just a tool.
Dope. Michelle, any last words before we wrap this one?
Listen, I'm just sitting here like, do I want my own cigar brand too?
I got you. 2 months. Let's make it happen. Next time I go to DR, you know, y'all tag along. Matter of fact, they're supposed to be doing a documentary about me. And y'all can come along if you want. I'll let you know when I go. And you can stay over there in my apartment. You don't even have to worry about lodging. You just got to pay for your airplane ticket. I ain't paying for that. But come on over.
Charles, I think me and you need to do a, what is it, like a coast-to-coast thing? Because we're about to be in Ghana. We're about to be all over the place with the Millionaire Podcast.
Been around the world with the Millionaire Podcast. Great episode, great conversation. I learned a lot about something that, I mean, I smoke a lot. So, you know, I get my smoke on and I don't get my drink on anymore. But nevertheless, good conversation. It was a pleasure talking to you, brother. Where can people find you? Where can they follow you? And where can they support what you have going on?
I'm on all the social media platforms, CarolinaBlueCigars.com, especially Instagram. That's kind of where we announce a lot of the things that we do next. If you want to email me or something, ask questions, chris@carolinabluecigars.com. Unfortunately, you cannot come by my headquarters because I ain't gonna let you in. But I get that all the time too. You got a lounge? No, it's the office. But yeah, hit me up on anytime. You know, I'm very open and approachable. You know, if you got questions, definitely hit me up on Instagram. If you want to buy Carolina Blue Cigars, shop CarolinaBlueCigars.com or go to www.CarolinaBlueCigars.com and you'll read more about the story there. You know, we're upgrading that on the website as we speak to make it even more user-friendly.
So. Love it. Love it. Love it. Awesome. Thank you so much for your time and giving us your information. Yes. There's lots of gems that were dropped.
Yes. Thank you for reaching out. I was totally shocked when I saw her. You guys reach out to me because I watch you guys. Like I said, I watch a lot of you guys dropping all these gems and it's great to see what you guys are doing. And I'm still learning on that aspect too. So I'm going to be hitting you back on some stuff that I got to do for some investment help on real estate, you know? And all that stuff too.
Yeah, definitely. That. Definitely. The exchange of information. I'm all for it. So it's cool that you've been watching and following not only myself, but I'm sure there's a ton of other really high quality podcasts. So shout out to them. I've never given them a shout out to them on my podcast, but I'm doing it today. So shout out to the people that earn your leisure. Shout out to Social Proof. Shout out to Millionaire Mindsets. Anybody else who I might've missed, because we're all doing a good thing. We're not in competition. We're just all doing it for the love of elevating our people. And I think that's what really matters more than who gets the most likes and views and spins. So
yeah, man, it's a great thing. It's a powerful thing, and I'm enjoying every minute of it.
Yeah. So that wraps up another episode of the Millionaire Talk Show with myself and the wonderful Michelle Welch. And we're out of here.